how to deal with self-blame associated with losing a loved one due to suicide. My aunt's son, who was clinically depressed, committed suicide. Before he took his life, he saw another death in their neighbor's place, who called my aunt for help. And also, he was getting ready to be sent to rehab center for his addictions. So she keeps thinking if she should not have taken her son or gone to help the neighbor, and also not trying to send him to a rehab center. He would not have taken that action. How to deal with these thoughts and feelings of self-criticism. Suicide is very complicated. There's a, it seems like today is the day for coming up with old sayings, but this was a saying that I once read in a Stephen Levine book, who worked a lot with people who were dying, and on the chapter that he, in this book on suicide, he said, everybody has a skeleton in their closet. People who commit suicide leave their skeletons in other people's closets. So that, you know, that's kind of a way of saying that, you know, when someone commits suicide, they leave oftentimes a very long-lasting legacy of confusion, remorse, doubt, self-questioning, for the people who are left behind, particularly people who are close, because there's always that, what could I have done? Should I have done something different? Why didn't I notice this? Why didn't I see it coming on? You know, did I do something wrong to support it? Did I, you know, like in this situation, you know, should I not have, you know, tried to send this person to a rehab center? Would they still be alive today? So it goes on and on and on, because there's no, you know, there's no space for being able to reconcile that, because they're gone. So it's just very, very difficult one. And again, it's like having to just constantly go back and say, you know, what were my intentions? Were they good? Did I want the best for this person? You know, recognizing that we can't be responsible or control how everybody deals with the difficulties in their life, and that, you know, we didn't wish for them to take their life, and who knows, you know, and just the process of going back and second guessing and rehashing, you know, does that lead to peace of mind? And no, it doesn't. And at some point, we have to realize that just that kind of repetitive rehashing, going back, isn't something that results in relinquishment, letting go, or peace of mind. And we have to, in a sense, retrain our thinking processes to you know, start picking up more skillful things to think about, or ways to think about it. And to constantly reassure ourselves, again, with the support of other people, and sometimes with people who can help you through this process skillfully, professionally, that, you know, we can't carry the load of being responsible for other people's actions when our intentions were, you know, were the best, and maybe there was something that we could possibly imagine that we could have been more skillful. But being skillful is different. You know, we all make mistakes, we all do unskillful things, but that doesn't mean our intentions were bad or wrong. It just means that we haven't had enough experience to be able to see every possible angle and something before it happens. So to forgive ourselves, if there is something that we can find fault with in what we did or didn't do, to realize that we are also imperfect beings, and you know, we make mistakes if we do, and we need to forgive ourselves and move on at some point, because the alternative isn't any good. But just to realize that, you know, it's a very common thing for people who have family members or close ones who commit suicide to, you know, constantly question and to find support from other people who have gone through that.